We're blessed once again this side of eternity to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful that each and every one of you are here. It's always good to see you, and you're an encouragement. And I'm thankful that God has blessed us. We certainly serve a great God, one who loves us and is merciful to us, and simply ask that we obey Him, and I hope that that's our desire this morning. I hope that you'll take your Bible out and follow along with me, turn to the passages, and make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. And certainly if I fall short of that, you're not going to hurt my feelings to point that out. I'd love for you to do that. So if I'm wrong in that, I can make correction of it and never preach it again. I certainly want to stick with what the Bible says. Of course, on the other hand, if you find that what we say is right, the only thing that we ask is that you believe it, obey it, and share it with others. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at some precious things. We know that the Bible points out over and over again, numerous times, that there are things that are of great value. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7 that Christ is very precious. The Bible points out that not only is Christ precious to those that obey, but that the shed blood of Christ is very precious. The Bible points out again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And so Christ is very valuable to us. What He did and accomplished on the cross in shedding His blood is very valuable to us. The Bible sets forth that knowledge is very valuable. As it was read in our hearing just a moment ago from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, that the law of the Lord is right, and He sets forth some very simple things in those very few passages, verses, about the valuableness of God's Word. And then He sums it up in verse 10 by saying that it's to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. So we understand that knowledge is something that is very valuable. Wisdom is something that is very valuable. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 23, the Bible says, to buy the truth and to sell it not. How valuable is the Word of God to you this morning? We hope that it's very valuable to you. In Matthew chapter 13, that great parable chapter of the Bible, as the Lord is teaching various parables, He sets forth the idea and the truth that the kingdom of God is as a pearl of great price. Remember reading about that? So there are some things that are very valuable to us. I would suggest to you that the most valuable thing that you possess is your soul.
Amen.
Do we understand that? You know, this body is going to be laid to rest one of these days, and it's going to see corruption. But the soul of man is going to live for all eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. And so the most valuable thing that you have is your soul. Are we taking care of it? Are we making sure that we're doing what is right so that we can live forever in the joys of heaven when life is over? That's our desire, to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. And so do we. You know, in spite of us realizing that there are many things that are valuable to us, you know that there are a number of things that the Bible sets forth that are very valuable and very precious, but that can be made vain. Have you ever thought about that? This one, I want us to think for just a little while about valuable things made vain. You think about all the things that man may possess materialistically. We understand that that's not what life is all about. Jesus taught about that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. When He talked about that, the things that man possesses is not what life is about. But if you think about all the things that we possess and all the goods that perhaps we have and how much stock we put into those goods, they're very valuable to us. But you know that they can be wasted, can't they? You think about things that are wasted by man. Individuals who are blessed to have many possessions and yet they waste them. They're really not thankful for those things. They just go to waste. You know, a lot of times talent, good talent can go to waste if we're not careful. It's very valuable when God blesses us with abilities, But then to see those things be made vain is sad. Again, the Bible catalogs some very simple things that are very valuable, but then they're made vain. And I want us to think about these in the hopes that we'll understand how valuable these things are, so that we won't allow them to be made vain or to fall by the wayside. And the first one that I want us to think about is going to be worship. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, you know, the word vain just simply means empty or without cause. You may have heard it said to no avail, something that is really good for nothing. It was once good, but then because of the way that it was used, it just ended up being no purpose at all. In Matthew chapter 15, the Lord deals with worship. You know, we live in a time when individuals, the thinking of many of is that worship just is not important. It really doesn't matter what we do when we come together. We can do just about anything, practically anything under the sun, and that would be pleasing to God. But when you read the Bible, you find that that's not the case. That's not so. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do thy disciples wash their hands when they eat bread? For this is what they were accused of, violating the tradition of the elders." Verse 3, "But he said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the dead. But ye say, Whosoever saith his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You think that it's possible that individuals could be guilty of doing that today? That they would profess with their mouth that they believe God, that they love God, that they keep the commandments of God, but then their heart is far from God? Do you think that that's possible, that we could be guilty of the same today? Notice what the Lord said in verse number 9. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I suggest to you that what we're doing this morning is of great price or value. It's a very valuable thing that we're able to come together on the Lord's Day and worship God in spirit and in truth. Do you believe that it is? But what we do is important when we come together. God has legislated what it is that we're to be busy about doing, hasn't He? We're to do all things by the authority of Christ, by His will, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. In John chapter 4 and verse number 24, Jesus made it plain that those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it is important that when we come together to worship God, that we do it according as God has legislated. If we don't, if we do anything amiss, if we do anything at all that deviates from God's divine pattern, then our worship is made vain. You want to be guilty of vain worship? Neither do I. But these people were guilty of that. They honored God with their lips. Their heart was far from it. They wasn't doing what God was requiring of them. They were making a pretense. They were guilty of hypocrisy. And in so doing, Jesus said, you violated that what God has told you to do. You've rendered your worship in vain. Specifically, you're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And when people do that today, it renders their worship vain in the sight of God. That means it's good for nothing. To no avail. Doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. It's not pleasing to God. You see why it's important that when we come together, we worship God in spirit and truth. We do all that God would have us to be doing just the way that He said to do it. And by the way, it doesn't need to be updated either, does it? Isn't it a sad state of affair when we live in a time when individuals think that we need to modernize the Word of God? And, you know, if we only do things a little bit differently, we may just get more people to come. Well, you may do things differently and you may get more people to come, but again, it's to no avail. It's in vain if it's not done according to the Word of God. And so we don't want our worship to be made vain, do we? There's another one I want us to think about, and that is grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Did you know that grace can be made in vain? Notice what Paul says in this passage. Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You think about what the Bible says about grace. You know, this is a big book, and it has a lot to say about the grace of God, doesn't it? We think about passages like John chapter 1 and verse number 17, where the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith," the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We understand that by the grace of God, we're able to do what we're doing today. That we're able to have the forgiveness of our sins because of what God has done, because of what Jesus has done. We didn't deserve that. I often tell people, I say, "Don, how are you doing? Better than I deserve." What we deserve to be is eternally separated from God, don't we? But God made a way because of His great love for us, that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And that's extended to all mankind. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11 says, "For the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all mankind." That's everybody. Has access to the benefits of God's grace. If we'll obey it. If we'll do what is necessary to have those benefits and have the forgiveness of our sins. Yet Paul says in this passage, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." And Paul says, "I labored above them all." Do we realize today that the grace that God has bestowed upon us, grace, unmerited favor, kindness and love, can be made vain? Do we realize that what Christ did on the cross, as we'll see in just a moment, can be made vain because of the way that we live our life? Isn't that sad? We think about something as valuable as the grace of God being made vain. Paul says it's not going to be that way with me. Paul says, "I labored, I persecuted the church before, but because of God's grace which was with me, because of what was made possible and extended to me, I labored and it's not going to be bestowed upon me in vain." You know, Christ died for every one of us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. You know, if we live our life in a way that's displeasing to God and we don't do what God would have us to be doing, it's to no avail in our life. In vain. Isn't that sad? How, of what value is God's grace to you? Personally, we understand it was bestowed upon all mankind. But in what regard do you hold the grace of God? To how regard? Or do you just cast it aside and say, "Thanks, but no thanks"? I hope that that's not our attitude. But there's a third one that I want us to think about, and that is labor. Now, there's labor that we do, and then there's labor that was bestowed upon us. I want us to think about that in Galatians chapter 4. Again, as we're thinking about valuable things, things that are very valuable, but they can be made vain. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Paul says, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor." Labor what? How? In vain. You think about that. Paul went to the region of Galatia, preached the gospel to those people. Many of them obeyed. They were doing what the Lord told them to do. They were Christians. And now Paul is writing to them, and he writes his pen says later to them, and he begins in verse number 10. He says, "You observe days and months and times and years." And then he says, "I'm afraid of you. I'm worried about you." Why would you be worried about them, Paul? "Lest I have bestowed labor upon them in vain." I want you to think about the individual that taught you the gospel. Think about those who were admonishing you to do what was right. And they spent the time and the effort to teach you the ways of truth in the hopes that you would obey it. And then the happy day came when you obeyed the gospel of Christ. Do you appreciate the labor and the time that and the effort that individuals spend upon you in laboring to teach you the Word of God? Where would we be if someone did not take the time and the effort and the energy and they did not have the concern for us to teach us the ways of truth? We all have to be taught it. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. In Acts chapter 8, remember what the eunuch said, "How can I understand except some man should guide me?" And Philip taught him the good news of Christ and the gospel. But listen, if we obey the gospel, and then we backslide and we fall away and we sever our relationship with God because of our disobedience, and that labor is bestowed upon us in vain. Isn't that sad? When you think about those that care so deeply for us, and they teach us, the moms and dads and the relatives who spend those hours praying for us and teaching us the Word of God, and then we obey it, and then we turn from it. That's what these individuals' condition would have been. In other words, if they had obeyed and they fell back away from obeying the Lord, perhaps their condition was that they were trying to leave the law of Christ and go back and serve under the Old Testament law of Moses. All of Paul's efforts would have been bestowed upon them in vain. Sad. We need to recognize and appreciate those who spend the time to teach us the right ways of the Lord, lest it be labor that is in vain. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse number 16, Paul says, "Holding forth a word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored," how, Paul? "In vain." In this passage, Paul is not necessarily talking about what he had bestowed upon others, but he's talking about what he did, his labor, his work, his obedience, his righteousness that he did before God. And he says, "I'm going to hold forth the word of life. I'm going to stay steadfast. I'm going to cling to it. I'm going to do what's right, lest I labor in vain." Again, how sad would it be on the occasion that we live our life, we've obeyed the gospel initially, then we live faithful to God all the days of our life until the end, and then we fall away, and it's all in vain. Did us absolutely no good whatsoever, did it? Maybe we did start out strong. Maybe we were on fire for the Lord, full of zeal. We set about with the mentality that we were going to save everybody, preach the gospel to everyone and save everybody. Then along the way we become discouraged. And we fall by the wayside. And we die in that condition. All the good that we did was to no avail. We labored in vain. You know, if that's our condition, if we do obey the gospel and then we fall away, we need to recognize that. You're here this morning, that's your condition. You can do something about it because of the grace of God and the mercy of God who's extended to us yet another day of life. And the homesick man will come to the knowledge of the truth and obey the gospel and go to heaven. You can do something about it this morning. Repent of those things, make confession to God in prayer, and He'll restore you to faithfulness. Those things will be wiped away, and you can go on your way full of zeal again, working for the Lord. If not, and we die in that condition, then it's to no avail. It's all in vain. I don't want to be that way. Do you? Is that the way you want it to be when you stand before the Lord? To say, "Lord, I used to do that. I used to work for you. I used to do the things that you wanted me to do. But I fell away. I denied you in the end and was not faithful to your cause." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse number 5, Paul says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." There was a group of people that's working for the Lord. You go back and you look at chapter 2, verse number 13, you find out that Paul commended them because when they heard the word of truth, they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, Paul says. Now Paul says, "I want to check on you. Lest the tempter's the devil, have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 52, when Paul was writing to those at Corinth, he talks about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, if we'll get ourselves right in the sight of God, if we'll obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, and we go to work for the Lord all the days of our life, it is not in vain. You know, there's sometimes when we think, well, why should we do that? Why should we be concerned about working for the Lord? People won't listen. They won't obey. It's been so long, perhaps, since we baptized anyone. And you go back and you look at your calendar and you see after all those sudden, perhaps, of preaching or teaching, you usually write down no responses. And you think that it's been so long since there's been a response. Well, it must be to no avail. No, we don't have to be discouraged, because our labor in the Lord is valuable. And it's not in vain. And it does not go unnoticed by the Lord. Even when men may not recognize it, they may not compliment what you're doing or whatever. Not that we do that for that. But I want you to know that God knows it. Sometimes we sing the hymn, God keeps a record. Lord keeps a record. Nothing that we do in service to the Lord is unnoticed to the Lord. It's not in vain, but we've got to be steadfast and unmovable, always working and abounding in the work of the Lord. What about Christ's death? Where would we be without Christ dying on the cross? Be lost, eternally separated from God. Took the death of Christ upon the cross for our sins to be forgiven. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 that our sin separates us from God. It's as if there's a wall or a partition that's between us and God. Not that He can't hear us, not that He cannot save us, but that He will not as long as there's sin in our life. That's what the Bible says, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. But because of what Christ did on the cross, our sins can be forgiven. He's made a way for us to be redeemed, made atonement for us, shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew chapter 26, the Lord talked about. Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 21. Let's go back to verse number 20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, if you remember, Paul talked about pretty in depth in chapter 1 about what he did to the church before his conversion. He makes a statement in chapter 1, I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it, he says. But God's grace was bestowed upon him. Christ died even for Paul, regardless of what we've done in this life, even for us. And now Paul says in verse number 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Again, perhaps we could close the book and say we don't believe the New Testament. Let's go back to the Old Testament to justify ourselves, which is evidently what some of these were trying to do. And he says if we do that, if we're made righteous by the Old Testament law of Moses, then Christ's death is vain. I suggest to you this morning that if we live our life in a way that's not pleasing to God, then Christ's death upon the cross is vain so far as my life is concerned. Because He shed His blood in agony for absolutely nothing so far as my life is concerned if I don't live for Him. That's the reality of it. Pretty straightforward, but that's the reality. If these people severed themselves from a right relationship with God because they digressed from the right ways of truth, from the gospel of Christ, and they began to try to serve Him under some other system, then Christ's death was to no avail. It was vain. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Paul's talking about their division in this chapter, as some of them were trying to call themselves after men. And Paul said, verse number 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, to no avail, in vain." About suffering. We realize that suffering can be in vain. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Notice what Paul says about these Christians at Galatia. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit of the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain." We can suffer for the Lord, but it can be made in vain. Think about the obstacles sometimes that you go through, and think about some of the persecutions. And I understand we don't go through persecution and trials and tribulations to the extent that the apostles did, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. He talks about what he suffered being an apostle. We suffer difficulties and heartaches and troubles and obstacles along the way. And if we don't live our life right, then it's all to no avail. Paul says, "Is it yet in vain? If it yet be in vain," that was going to be their condition if they didn't live right. What about religion? "Preacher, one faith is as good as another. Doesn't really matter what you believe. Doesn't really matter how you practice what you do believe. Because we serve a merciful God." And I'll agree with you, we serve a merciful God. But I want to agree that it doesn't matter what we do. If it didn't matter what we did or how we did what we did, why even open up the Bible and study? We're admonished to study 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. But why do that if it doesn't matter? If it doesn't matter what men do in service to God, then why did Jesus even come to the earth and die on the cross? Wasted his time if it didn't matter. If it didn't matter, then what about all the things that the Bible talks about, that list of ones in Ephesians chapter 4? When he talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, verse number 3. Our religion can be made vain. James chapter 1, and verse number 26 talks about that. "If any man seemeth to be religious among you, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." We need to make sure that we not only hear the Word of God, but that we obey it. "Not be a forgetful hearer of the Word, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed," and then that we bridle and keep in control that little member called the tongue. It's difficult to do sometimes, but we need to keep it in check. And think about what we say before we say it, because the Bible says, James is penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "If any man among you," and you think about that, put it in perspective. When we think about at Mill Street, or wherever it is that you attend if you're visiting with us, "If any man among us seem to be religious and he doesn't keep his tongue in check, doesn't bridle his tongue, this man's religion is vain, it's to no avail, it's to no good." Pure religion, and he defines that verse number 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We might need to underscore that phrase, "keep himself," not keep everybody else, but need to focus on ourselves. That's a full-time job. To keep ourselves unspotted from the ways of the world. Sometimes we get so busy about the affairs of everybody else that we don't focus on the affairs of my own life. Our religion can be made vain. Our worship can be made vain. And of as well as all these other things that we've looked at. Believe. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6. A good Bible definition of what the gospel is about, what constitutes the good news of Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul deals with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice, if you will, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Now notice what he says in verse 2, "By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Think it's possible that an individual can obey the gospel and then fall from a right relationship with God? You know, don't we hear people today say, "Once saved, always saved"? There's no way that you can have the forgiveness of your sins and then fall from a right relationship with God. And yet here's Paul, an apostle of Christ, who is writing to this group of Christians, and he's telling you, you believed it, you've obeyed it, you're saved by it, you need to stand in it, you've believed it, lest it be in vain. How could it be in vain if there's no way that they could fall? Because it was possible for them to fall. It was possible for it to be in vain. Their belief. Preaching and faith can be in vain. Later on in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul starts dealing with a problem. The issue that they were having, that some were denying that there was going to be a resurrection. And then he begins to talk about several things that were in vain if there is no resurrection. One of the things he lists is a preaching that was bestowed upon him was in vain. Faith is in vain if there be no resurrection. And Paul deals with that. But our faith can be made vain if we're not careful. And the last one that I want to share with you is that our life can be spent in vain. If we're not living for God, our life is spent in vain. Let me ask you the question. God's blessed you to be able to be alive. He has every one of us. One of these days, life is going to be over. That's for sure. In just a moment, we're going to be traveling back east to go to a funeral. And the reason we're doing that is because a gentleman died. We understand the reality of that. But just as sure as men are going to die, there's going to come a judgment day. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Not maybe, not perhaps. But the day of the Lord will come. And if you stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Christ, the Son of God, on that great judgment day, and never obeyed the gospel or obeyed and fallen away, what good was it? What good was life? But it was lived in vain, if that be the case. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus asked that question, "What would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world and lost your own soul, what would it profit you?" I don't know the reason, if you're among the number this morning, that you never obeyed the gospel. I don't know. You know, and the Lord knows why you've never obeyed. But whatever the reason, in essence, is what you're given in exchange for your soul. And there's nothing that we can give in exchange for our soul that would be worth it. Not a thing. Because everything, no matter what it is going to pass away. Whatever it is that we might hold on to, whatever goods it may be, whatever relationships pertaining to things of this life we may have, are going to be dissolved and they're going to be gone. What's important is, have we obeyed the Lord? Are we a Christian? Are we one of His children? You do that by doing what the Bible says to do that. And that's never going to change, as I've stated in other sermons. But to hear the gospel, and you've heard it, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, shall die in your sins." John 8:24. You're willing to repent of your sins, and that means to stop doing wrong again, to do that which is right, a change of mind that results in a change of action. Without we do that, we're going to perish. Luke 13:3. We stand before those present this morning and make that confession of your faith in Christ, like the eunuch did when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Jesus commanded that, Matthew 10:32-33. Then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. To arise to walk in newness of life, the Bible says that the Lord will add you to His church, and He'll not make the mistake and add you to the wrong one. Acts 2:47. To go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if today's your last day of this earthly pilgrimage, that heaven will be your home because you've obeyed the Lord. Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away. You're not living your life right. You realize that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, why not come right now?